I'm not going to look up anything about it if that is what we watch today. So
going blind.
Going blind. I think that's the best way. Like nothing about it. Anywho, welcome to another amazing episode of Binge Worthy. Steve, how are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing good. I'm just, you know, just 1 week away from official vacation time.
Doing anything fun for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to disconnect and drink a lot. That's my plan.
Drink that and sounds do lovely to me.
Drink and do things. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's your plan?
I'm here. I'm in Raleigh for the next 2 weeks, and then maybe head home for a week, and then off to Vancouver until right before Christmas, and then probably here again for Christmas. But we'll see.
Okay.
So, all around the world, and then I'll be back for the like New Year's and all that in New Jersey.
I like it.
That is the plan. Anyway,
I will be in Jersey for Christmas if you're around.
Oh, yes. Very nice. Very nice. Doing anything fun for Christmas? I don't know. That's a little early to talk about.
Grandma can hang with grandson.
There you go. What a good grandson you are. All that being said, so we had a hell of an episode yet last week. We watched Pluribus, which I really enjoyed. And you said you went down a rabbit hole. So I'm assuming you watched the other two episodes that have aired.
I didn't watch the other two episodes. I actually ended up watching theories about the show.
Oh, okay.
And I ended up really enjoying them because the guy who's kind of done this like analysis on the show dug deep into like what he thinks, what the underpinnings of the story is and like how the mind hive will think and like how she's trying to make them blink and like what does that really mean? And kind of poke holes into like how do you make something make a choice that is trying to put everyone else above it?
Yeah.
And how she did that in episode two.
Like, yeah, so this is – I've watched all the episodes now. I've caught up completely. And this is a very interesting point you bring up because it's really one of the underpinnings of the show. And it's that, you know, there's something off about everything, right? Because – so she makes a joke that she's so miserable. By the third episode, she's like, you know, they call her and they're like, is there anything we can do for you today? And she's like, yeah, the only thing that would help me right now is a hand grenade to the face. So they bring her a hand grenade. And like, it's that woman who, you know, came to her in the first episode, who's like the representation. No, that wasn't the first episode, but someone comes to her like who represents all of them. And
the guy who also they bring into that in episode two, right? The guy who ring is also a direct representation of the character from her book.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yes.
Oh, right. Because there's only two people who knew she was going to be female.
And that was, so that means they were crawling around in her dead fiance's head.
Yep.
Which probably set her off. And also, apparently, her freakout killed like 11 million people.
Yeah, but they killed 700 million during the event, like during the change.
Yep, the transition.
Yeah, so like, you know, who's really at fault? Who's really worse there? But what's interesting is like she gets drunk after they bring her a hand grenade and she's drinking with the one lady who represents them, right?
Yep.
And she gets drunk and takes the pin out of the grenade and the other girl freaks out. And she's like, there's no way you brought me a real grenade. And then she, like, the other woman throws it out the window and covers, like, Carol. And the explosion happens, right? It was a real grenade.
Mm-hmm.
So it cuts to them in the emergency room the day later when, obviously, this other woman who protected her is being treated. And one of the people come out to try to talk to her and tell her she's okay. And then she looks at her, why did you bring me a real grenade? And then she's like, well, because it made you happy. And it's like, well, what else would you give me? And she said, well, you know, whatever would make you happy. And she said, could I have a tank? And they're like, why would you want a tank? It's just for fun. Could I have a tank? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, could I have a nuclear bomb? Why would you want to? Because I want to blow shit up. And he's like, and then she looks at him. It's okay to say no. It would be sane to say no. But they refuse to say no. And this like kind of underpins like the whole, like this whole, why do they need to make her happy? Like, why will they not do, like, if they're if this is the ultimate like evolution, right? If this is the ultimate sign of peace and everyone is this one hive mind, why can't they be logical?
Yep. Yep. I also have a really good point I wanted to bring up too. Do you remember the timer?
Oh yeah. The countdown.
Remember how it's counting down and then it counts up?
Yeah, so it counts down to the moment the transition happens, right, as you said, and yep. Then it counts up. We don't know why it's counting up now. Is yep. It like plus time, like time when they're not themselves?
Yes, and there's something else to it that one of the theories is that it has something to do with how much time is achieved while the hive is up and running, while they're still one unit type of thing.
Oh, so interesting. It's
like an uptime idea.
Okay.
Which I think could go somewhere. It's really interesting, I thought.
So yeah, give me your most outlandish theory. That like what are the things that you found most convincing, actually? Let's start there. In the deep dive you did, what are the main predominant theory right now is what's going on?
You know, alien or human experiment origin, I really like the idea of it is, you know,
okay.
Like the virus between everything. I kind of had the thing that I liked, it was more like exploring like how Carol was causing them to blink with the plane and then giving them like the personal choice in episode two.
Yeah.
Making them force a choice. So I kind of like how that's playing into things, but again, it's still too early to make a, for me to make like a call on what I think is actually going on. There's just not enough details yet.
Yeah. And that's totally, you know, I agree with that statement. What I find interesting is, and I know you haven't watched episode two, so I'll try to be a spoiler. I have to reveal some, I know you've seen Deep Dive, so I'm sure you know things that happen.
Yep.
One of the most intriguing things, and I can't tell if it's realistic. I'm thinking it is, but I think in any scenario where this kind of thing happens, I would be Carol. I think we all would, right? Where we're just like, all right, how do we stop this? You understand this is not normal, right? Like, and then there's the one dude who is all about this because he's just having sex with all these ladies and living in Air Force One, you know, whatever. And then there's the mother who refuses to acknowledge something's wrong because her boy is part of this thing, right?
Right.
And all these family members. So that brings up two intriguing things. Number one, do you think it's realistic for some people to want this to happen?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Maybe I just can't put myself in that head. That's why it's just so interesting. But second question, because it seems to be that like Carol's the only one who's alone, right?
Correct.
She lost her spouse. We don't know their exact. We don't know if they're married, whatever. They obviously live together. They're obviously in love. We don't know what happened to, like, what happens if she would have lived? Do you think she would have been more supportive of this?
I think so. But Carol in general has like been painted as a character who just is miserable to the core from the beginning.
Oh, 100%. And you see that in, you know, the intro to episode three, when they go on this great vacation together, that she just like finds things to complain about. You know, the real tagline of this show is the most miserable person on earth must save the world from happiness. So I think the undertoning is she is that miserable and nothing will make her happy.
Yep. But
like, do you think, I don't know. I really don't think, do you think the other people actually exist?
Yeah, they're 12.
Yeah, this is something I was thinking about.
I think they exist. I think they're real people. I think they're set up specifically for a reason.
Okay. Because my other thought was that, like, she's the only one, and they made up other people to make her feel better. And it's just these people acting as individuals.
Oh, I got you.
I don't know. That literally was a thought that just occurred to me. And maybe she is so miserable she can't, like, be part of it. Or maybe because she's so miserable, if they brought her into this, it would like destroy it. So they need to make her happy first.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that they're made up. I get what you're saying. I like what you're saying makes sense on a fundamental level. But
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that though for this one.
Okay. Again, spitballing. I don't know if it's I don't believe it or whatever, but I think what I am happy about is that I'm talking about this, right? Because there's very few shows nowadays that I can just like sit and talk about. I mean, that's our whole job of this podcast. But like even the shows we sometimes review, we kind of review them in the moment and move on. But it's rare that we get a show that has like so many possibilities, so many like things that could happen. And so like depth and so much we don't understand. You know, Severance is a great example. We're given a simple premise and like all of this mystery and get drip fed answers. And even then it's barely like X-Files, like that kind of thing. It's very rare. I mean, I know X-Files is related because it's Vince Gilligan, but still like it's very rare we get these shows. And I think these are the things I love, right? When you go into the nitty gritty and like try to understand what the hell's going on.
Oh, for sure.
Because it doesn't happen very often. But, well, let's put it to you this way. Now that you're in this rabbit hole, are you going to keep watching?
Yeah. I think I'm going to keep up with it and see how things move along with it. At least as far as the hook is concerned, I'm curious to see how episode 4 turns out. But I do like there's like a little bit of a cat and mouse game between everything. So I've got high hopes to make things, make things interesting. It's just not a traditional show like you get now. So I'm hoping, you know, I'll stick with it for sure.
Fair enough. All right, well, that's all I had on Plurbus. We got to riff a little bit while we wait for Sean, who's going to join us in a few minutes. What else you got going on? Anything else you want to talk about here at the top of the show?
We've got, you know, like a few shows that are out or coming our way. Let me tell you about some. So The Beast in Me, I just started watching that. Really good. I'm like 4 episodes in. Really good setup. It's a will they, won't they. What was I going to tell you too? I am also need to catch up on The Frontier. I don't know if you've watched that at all.
I started Frontier. Is it still worth watching?
How
far have you gotten?
I'm only up to like episode 6.
Okay. What do you think so far? I only watched the first episode.
I like the mystery behind it of like who is this guy and like why is he able to do this and all this other stuff. There's a lot about that show that I like, and I kind of like a little like the twist of keeping you guessing type of thing. Like he's always like one step ahead. It gave me a little bit of that vibe of what was that Kevin Bacon show where he like just kept escaping everybody all the time. The Following.
Yeah, Following.
Remind me of The Following because he kept having like all these other people kind of like distract the agents and like do other things for him. But I'm like, they don't have a picture of this guy. They're just kind of like, oh, they never get a picture of him. He's just too fast. So that's the one thing I kind of find a little unbelievable.
Okay.
Another thing I have really liked, I'm glad I'm catching up through it. I don't know if you watch The Diplomat at all.
Have
you watched The Diplomat?
No. What is The Diplomat? Tell me.
I think you'd like that. I think I'd actually really think you'd like it. It's similar. There's parallels to The West Wing in terms of how it sets itself up.
Oh, I do love me some West Wing.
It's not like the same style in terms of like how it does.
If you don't have a walk and talk, I'm out.
There's a walk and talk. There's plenty of walk.
Okay, all right.
Plenty of walk and talks. But it's very like the twist in it. I love you'll love the twist. Okay. Season 2 has been one of my favorites. Now season 3, they've started to set things up for some very interesting questions. Where people are in. Yeah, give it a shot. If you get through season 1, and if you like the ending of season 1 just hooked me so hard, and I was like, oh man, what a finale.
Okay.
Very good show.
All right, I've written it down. I am all down for Diplomat.
It's a sleeper. I don't think too many people talk about how good it is.
All right.
Have you watched the Apple TV show Chief of Four?
Yes.
What'd you think of it?
I mean, it's decent. I mean, I think everything on Apple TV has a base level of okay.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
It's not like my first or second choice. But I enjoyed it. Like it was a nice read. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I liked the idea behind it. I kind of like this whole like legacy, and these guys are fighting a war, and he wanted to be left alone. Then he realized he really couldn't. Like, I like that whole idea, and it's not a typical show that you see. So like, it just wasn't very common in terms of like the themes, the setting, the location, the casting.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I liked the idea of it. I just was like, oh, I need to finish this like somewhere between episode 5 and 6. And I was like, I'll come back to it.
I will say that like it's very interesting to see Billy Crystal in a very serious role.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to do, like, I really hope they don't go paranormal.
Same.
But I think, you know, there's potential there. It was good. Yeah. Sorry, I don't have any more positive things to say about
it. It's okay. It's kind of like, it's like an okay show. It
felt kind of generic. Like, it felt like every other, like, Netflix drama.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know, let's talk about, while we're waiting, the movie side of things. Have you seen any movies lately?
I have a movie date set for this weekend.
Ooh, what are you gonna partake in?
I'm gonna see the Wicked sequel.
Oh, sorry.
So,
well, I'm sure you and your wife will really enjoy that.
I'm sure I will.
Are you excited? Did you like the first one?
First one I liked. The books are kind of really fucked up. It's actually way more,
I've heard. Gruesome. I have not partaken. It's not necessarily my cup of tea. But I've heard good things about the book. But isn't the book also not that like long? So, like, how do they stretch it into two movies?
Because they kind of blended the book and the Broadway play together.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you guys will have a great time. Did you see Predator Badlands yet?
Not yet. Did you see it?
I did. I saw a couple movies.
Good things. I heard everybody gave it really good, like a very high rating. What'd you think?
I didn't not like it.
Oh, wow. Tell me why.
Well, here's my biggest thing. And it's not necessarily something against the movie, because the actual movie was really good, right? It had a good plot. There are two things that I thought were over the top. One, they really ham-fisted the Weyland-Yutani alien connection.
Okay.
I wish it had been a little bit more subtle. Like, we didn't need to see, like, every time, like you know, every time we see the droid, we have to see a Weyland-Yutani logo, or, like, their ship, and then a close-up of the logo again. Like, we get it. It's connected to the alien universe.
They teased a little bit of that during the initial trailer, where they basically showed her activation.
Yes.
And that logo was everywhere.
Yeah, so a little subtlety wouldn't have been the worst thing. This is what I can't get over. And I went with our friend of the show, Liam, who, you know, we had a good time and he really enjoyed it. But like the one thing I couldn't get over is I don't necessarily know if I like humanizing the predators. And I think that was always my concern from the beginning of setting this movie from the predator's point of view.
Okay.
I think that Prey was incredible. Prey was great. And Dan Trachtenberg earned the right to make another Predator movie, right? Because Prey was great. But again, when I knew it was from the Predator's perspective, I know they would have to make us care for this character, right? and make him like sympathetic and have like this, you know, backstory, whatever. Is that? Oh God. Well, Sean's a little late, so we'll get to our show in a few minutes. However, let me get to my point. I thought Predators worked because we didn't know anything about them. You know, it's almost like Darth Vader was scary before we know he was like a sad kid for most of his life.
Yes.
And
because nobody wished him a happy birthday.
Of course. So while I like the expansion of the universe, and I think in any other setting, the movie would be good. It's a great sci-fi popcorn movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Humanizing the Predator and making it almost a buddy cop movie with the half of, you know, of the droid.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get over how I feel about that. You know what I mean?
It took away from like what it is as a,
well, predators were, right? Why they're right. So scary in the first few movies, you know, and why they were scary in Prey. We knew nothing about them except that these badass hunters who have like lasers, you know, like in like camo and are hard to kill, but they still bleed so you can kill them. Like that kind of was the defining. We didn't like the scariness came from the unknown, you know, and all these things they could do. This one was literally about the runt of the family who was like exiled. So he goes to the baddest planet to kill the baddest creature so he can become like respected by his clan.
Yeah.
But like, and my initial thoughts on the Predator universe was that that would happen anyway. They would just kill the runt. You know, like there's no room for the weak in Predator. Like by learning more and making them human, like, or humanizing, I don't know. I really, really, really hope we never get humanized aliens.
I agree with you totally. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. It's okay to like the things you like. I don't need to know where the things I like came from.
Right.
You know, right, xenomorphs right. are scary because they're godless killing machines. We have no idea what they are. All we know is what we see and what we can, you know, figure out about them, right? Which is they plant their correct. Fucking baby in our stomach and then kill us.
Yes.
And their blood is acid and everything about them is terrifying. Like, I don't want to know that they're like, you know, they have like a family dynamic, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So again, I think the movie is worth seeing. But that is the one part. I did enjoy the movie, but I don't know if I enjoy that aspect, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense to me. Depending on how they were going to take this, right? It wasn't necessarily that I was looking at this as a thing. I wasn't initially going to think this was going to be like a buddy cop thing. I was thinking this would be more of a like a trial, and there's like this little like I kind of got that going to team up because obviously she loses her legs, and they make it very apparent in the trailer that she like has to take, like she has to team up with him somehow to do these things.
Yeah.
Cause
like they're going after the creature that took her legs.
I was more interested in seeing like what the origin or where they're going to go with that and see how things move.
It's interesting. It's also like they got to glaze over some things like how a Weyland-Yutani, synthetic knows the Predator language.
Yes.
Like, it's like, oh, well, you guys have visited this planet before. Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't mind their dynamic. I just didn't think it fit the Predator universe.
I got you.
Again, like I said, any other sci-fi movie, this would be a great, I didn't need this to be an established franchise, you know?
I got you.
But then again, the question is, would it have done so well if it wasn't Predator? So
Good question.
That's also, all that being said, go see it. I would love your opinions on it. Or get it, you know. I also saw The Running Man.
Oh, how was that?
I'm a huge Edgar Wright fan. You know, ever since, like, you know, the olden days and Shaun of the Dead, all that type of stuff. I've always liked his movies, except for, you know, Scott Pilgrim, but that's a whole different story. We don't have to get into that now. I actually quite enjoyed it. I really like Glenn Powell. I've kind of liked him in everything he's been in.
Yeah, Glenn Powell's like a sleeper of an actor. I really, really do like him as an actor. He's right. Really good.
Loved Maverick, loved Twisters, loved, you know, I love this. Like, it was exactly what I wanted it to be. It was super violent. It was over the top. It had still like a socialist message, because it was like, don't let corporations run everything. This is what happens. It was cool. And it was, I think, you know, I haven't seen the Schwarzenegger version in like 30 years. Not 30 years, but like a long, long time. And it's like, I don't remember much of it. Okay. But I enjoyed this one. And, you know, they didn't pull any punches. I liked it. So was it like the best movie I've ever seen? No. But it was a lot of fun. And that's kind of what I wanted out of a movie like that.
So, All right.
Yeah, did enjoy The Running Man. I know some people are milkwarm on it, but I actually liked it a lot. The action sequence.
It's worth spending money on. That's my hard part. I'm like, maybe I just wait for it to come out and I'll just watch it that way.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I know it's much, much harder for you with a job and a kid to go to the movies. You know, and I know you have a nice new television, so that's please go, but please do whatever you got to do. But like, I think there is something to be said. I do like seeing big action movies in theaters, and maybe that's just because I'm old school, right? I will never not like a theater. I just can't get away from that. So like, I always will prefer if I can do that, but you know, and especially because my mom has an Alamo near her. Which is like the best theater. So, you know, no hashtag not sponsored, yeah, but the Alamo rules. Alamo Draft House is the best cinema by far. That's it. I'll get that out of the way. But yeah, had fun. That's all that mattered. I definitely am not seeing Now You See Me.
No.
There's no reason.
It's just so stupid. I somehow it still makes money though. It's like all the Jurassic movies, like, I think the people who write the Jurassic World or Jurassic Park movies now just hate Jurassic Park in general. And those movies just still make money.
You know what really bothers me is this one was supposed to be better because David Kopp came back, right? The guy who wrote the first one with Michael Crichton or helped turn it into a screenplay.
Right.
And so I was actually legitimately excited about it. I thought they were like doing a soft reboot, right? Because they were getting away from the animals in the world thing, right? And just kind of like, oh, they're only on the island, which they explained well.
Yep.
But the movie just didn't deliver. You know, I think it was much too reliant on being a creature feature and not like, I don't know. I've actually softened to Lost World recently. Maybe how bad these sequels are have made me realize Lost World was actually really good. Perhaps. It's not nearly as good as the original Jurassic Park. Nothing will be.
No.
Right? Like, it's an utter classic. It's kind of the same with Alien. You know, how do you live up to that? But I have softened. If you consider Jurassic Park to Lost World, not necessarily like trying to be a direct, but more of a creature movie, like a horror movie, you know, where these, like, you know, you're being chased by, replace the dinosaurs with any sort of like monster. I think the movie comes because it's like the first half is like, you know, a creature feature where they're going like, you know, onto this island and this thing, all these things are stalking them and trying to kill them. Mm-hmm. And then the end when like it's just like a T-Rex, you know, terrorizing downtown San Diego. So I think if you take it for what it is, it's better. It's like, I just rewatched it after like I had a discussion about Dominion and how bad it was. So
nothing will be as bad as Afterbirth.
No. Near. Anywho. Oh, Jurassic Park.
Joseph Park.
Everything, like, you know, I love that series so much.
You've become the slop that you were not meant to be.
I know. Oh, well. Michael Crichton, we need you back. Can we figure out, like, if we're going to figure out cloning, let's bring Michael Crichton back, please.
We need him.
That person like Michael Crichton comes around once in a generation, seriously.
It truly is.
All right. We've waxed poetic a lot.
We have.
Sorry. Anything else you want to cover before I dive into this this new show?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
All right. Very good. So Sean is also delayed again. He will be joining us at some point through the episode. But I had this idea that I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes, the top shows recently. And I kind of like this kind of idea of, like, let's go with popular shows. And we'll do this for a little while. If, you know, we get bored of it, we'll go back to the old format or try something new. As long as we're reviewing TV shows, I love it. So, Steve, if you're okay with it, I know we keep putting off 9-1-1, but I do want to watch it. But I figure going into a show blind, where neither of us literally know nothing, except the fact that I checked on Rotten Tomatoes, and this thing is sitting at 100. Which very few shows do. I thought, you know, why don't we give this a shot?
Yeah.
I know literally nothing. It's on HBO Max, and I expect good things from HBO Max. All I know is it's called, let's see, let me pull it up, and we can discuss this a little bit. I lost Rotten Tomatoes because I was Googling other stuff. Jurassic World or Jurassic, whatever the new one's called. Anywho, so this show is called The Chair Company. So there's only been one episode. The next episode airs on the 23rd of November.
Okay.
I know literally nothing. I'll give you the tagline. And we can decide from there. After an embarrassing incident at work, William Ronald Trosper finds himself investigating a far-reaching conspiracy.
Interesting.
Yeah. What are your initial thoughts just on that?
It has chairs in the title.
What can you think of any conspiracies with chairs?
Yes, plenty of conspiracies.
Oh yeah, okay.
Why do they have lumbar? Why do some have lumbar support and some don't? why is it so shocking that sometimes they fall apart? Is there really a difference between a gamer chair and a chair in your car? Can you mod your car with gamer chairs?
These are questions that'll plague mankind.
Chair is the good.
You'll never know. Yeah. These are the conspiracies.
So, which one will help me on my grind to world domination? I don't know. it sounds interesting, though.
All right, yeah. So, again, we know nothing, so we can't even prejudge. Even less than we did. We didn't have any, like, context. Let's see who's in this thing. Maybe we can get some context before we jump in. It stars... Oh, Tim Robbins. Okay. Who else is in this thing? Tim Robinson, Lake Bell, Sophie Lillis.
Okay.
No one else big. Yeah, it stars a guy from Second City who's always good. He was on SNL. He was in a lot of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and then he was in his last movie was Friendship, opposite Paul Rudd, which was actually pretty funny. So highly recommend that if you have the option. But that's all I really know about this. So I am going to share my screen. Well, let's do this. Any other comments before we get started?
No, I'm just curious to see how it goes.
Right? Okay. Without further delay, except for me to get the thing ready. Season 1, episode 1 of The Chair Company, entitled Life Goes By Too Fucking Fast.
Hey,
All right. John, welcome to the show. Let's first start with this. How far into the show did you appear?
I literally just saw like the last 5 minutes, basically him walking around in the mall and then getting confronted by who seems like but isn't the voice of Raphael from the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. although I'm going to bury the lead a little bit here. I don't know which one of you people picked this show. I have a sneaking suspicion that it's Steve, but
No.
So
it wasn't even me either, to be fair. We went with the thing. We literally went on Rotten Tomatoes and like new TV shows most popular. This had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I'm going to bury the lead. I've binged this show up until like what's aired already, and I did it in a day. Yeah, no, I love it. I love him. He's like my kind of humor.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, we literally I thought it was like great.
Neither of us had ever heard of it. Nothing about it.
I got so hyped the second I came on, and it was just like literally just him, like a zoomed out shot of him walking around the mall. I was like, fuck yes. This is a good show. This is a good, good show.
All right. So I'll get to you in a sec. Steve, what are your first impressions?
I don't know how to make an impression on the show. It's confused me.
It did. I need to know more. I have to know what the fuck is going on. I don't know. Like when it first started, it really seemed like The Office, kind of like a awkward. Let's make like from this first interaction in the restaurant when he's like, "No, you've been in a mall," and like just making things awkward and weird. All the way to like accidentally seeing up, his coworker's shirt and then her reporting him to HR for it. Like everything just seemed like just over the top, ridiculous, like some office-based office type stuff. And then now there's this weird conspiracy theory with a chair company that doesn't exist. And that's not like the average goon you send to like intimidate someone. That dude was like 60. That's not intimidating. I really don't know what to think. Tim Robinson was great.
Yeah.
I think everyone on this show was great. Was doing. I feel bad for this dude.
Really?
Like, he just wanted to, like, do a good job, and now he's just, like, thrust into all this nonsense. And it's going to, like, obviously it's going to deteriorate over the course of the show.
Okay, like, so I have a question about that. And I'm going to ask this in up front. I think I haven't seen, like, the last – I know I'm at least an episode behind what's aired. I think I binged maybe 5 episodes of it at the point. It was, like – it was last Sunday, I guess. So not 2 days ago, but. 9 days ago that I did it. But I had this thought while I was watching it, and I'd like to get your take. Is this real, or is this in his mind?
That is another thought. I was actually
are we dealing with
Jacob's ladder?
I was gonna say, what's the term, something narrator?
Oh,
unreliable narrator.
Unreliable narrator. Yeah,
because it feels like that's a very real possibility.
I would think so.
Because and without spoiling anything else that happens, like the series is just like constantly questioning, like, is he going crazy or is this real? And nobody else wants to acknowledge.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a twist where he just wakes up, like, or. Like, he just hit his head, and he's been, like, in a coma or whatever since the chair fell. And this is all just, like, an imaginary. Steve, what stood out to you? Without saying what you liked, disliked, what you thought of the show, anything that stood out as an interesting or something that, like, piqued your interest or got your attention, anything?
The actual like break-in where he has diarrhea.
This empty office. There's two questions I have. One, I'm 90% sure the porn he took pictures of on his phone is going to come back to haunt him. Yes. Like vintage porn, which, oh no, this is HBO. I was like, how do you show that on television? But I was like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. And then the giant fucking red ball.
Yes.
Who was the dude screaming to? Like, putting your foot up in a dark bathroom with your phone light still on is not going to, like, be subtle.
Good question.
I don't know. Like, it was, I don't know if they're trying to go for, like, a horror movie thing or whatever. That was, like, just a dude screaming and then, but not, like, doing anything, not interacting with him. He just ran out after wiping himself, of course.
Of course.
Gotta stay clean.
Sean, I without giving as many spoilers as you can, what stood out to you the most in that first episode? What was your aha, I got hooked moment? I need to watch more.
I don't know. So he's so interesting as like a comedian, as an actor, performer, I guess.
His new movie with Paul Rudd is really good. I mentioned that before.
I want to talk about that because I love that movie. But like, he like skirts the edge between, I think I really like him, or at least I have a lot of empathy for him, to this person is so fucking unbearable and just completely off his rocker. But it's like you want to like him, right? You want to trust him and believe in him, but he's just like fucking nuts.
But is it grounded nuts? Is it nuts where it's believed? Because, like, in the first episode, everything that happens can be explained as, like, okay, it's just, like, it sucks. And he's acting a little insane, but, like, nothing has been out of the realm of possibility yet.
Right. But he strikes me as someone, like, his life, like, from the outside seems, like, at least somewhat put together. You know? Okay. Like, he's got this, like, nice family. He's married to Lake Bell, like good pull for you, bud. He's got like, you know, it seems like he's got a job where he's again, ostensibly respected or doing well, or at least has some kind of like managerial authority. You would think that like this guy's kind of like, you know, in the sweet spot, but I think it's kind of like, it's almost like this, it's like the ADHD urge to self-sabotage kind of thing. Yeah. It feels just like he's going to fuck it up. And like, I have a lot of empathy for that because I do feel that like some version of that at times. And I think that it's like really kind of compelling. I also just think he's just absolutely fucking bonkers and, you know, but like keeps it in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, but like you said, everything that happens to him, it's like, oh yeah, like I could see that. Like, the whole thing with like the chair collapsing and then him seeing up his colleague's skirt and like I could see that happening somewhere, it being a huge deal and like people making a huge deal of it or like making a deal out of it when it really that's not at all what it was, and like that like be just being incredibly maddening. I just think his performance is just so interesting. Kind of in the same way that I found his performance in that movie with Paul Rudd, like.
Yeah.
Where I also questioned, and I'm going to get your, I really want your opinion on this.
Yeah.
I also wonder if at least part of that movie was also not supposed to be real.
That I don't know.
Yeah. So, and I haven't really looked into it, but I remember when I was watching it at the time, I watched it on a heavy dose of edibles too. So I was like real super invested. I looked and I don't remember seeing anything about like whether or not I was like on the right path. But the fact that he causes me to question reality tells me that he's doing something right. I don't know, just my two cents. But I thought it was just a very compelling and like so weird, just like such an, it's like you want to find out with it. You want to solve this mystery if it is a mystery.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not, but if he's getting threatened by like a 60-year-old guy with a really sharp like Staten Island accent, then maybe, you know, Who knows?
Doing something right? I know.
That's pretty fair. I mean, I don't know. I feel worse for him in the other movie, though. But that's another story.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad for him in that movie. Also, like, I feel bad for what he inflicts upon Paul Rudd. But yeah,
we'll have a whole discussion about that later.
Yeah, I
don't know. I'm definitely intrigued. I want to at least watch the next episode, and I want to figure out what the hell is going on. I have a feeling it's going to be the same as most shows, like that they're going to get dripped information and not know anything. And even by the end of the first season, I don't know if we'll have any sort of closure.
Again, I will tell you, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, some things do kind of start to reveal themselves a little bit, but I honestly have no idea what's going to happen at this point. I'm 4 or 5 episodes ahead of you guys, so.
Fair enough. All right. Steve, anything else interesting or intriguing to you?
No, there's just so many different things going on, so I don't know how to put it, but it was interesting.
What were your thoughts? Like, did you like it? Did you enjoy the experience, or were you more just flabbergasted?
I was definitely flabbergasted. Okay. I don't know if I would say I didn't dislike it. I just don't know how I would prioritize it. Like, Sean, based on the episodes you've seen so far,
yeah,
what do you think about it? Like, as like pacing show, like, so, you know, it's always hard to just judge one show with one episode.
I almost just fell over. How ironic! My chair almost fell over on me. Well, I think the pacing is really good, and I think it kind of lends itself to, I don't want to say casual watch, because there's definitely, you do need, I mean, it's helpful to pay attention. You don't want to like have to go back and be like, wait, did I miss something? But I think it's very easily digestible and like, you know, sitting down like I did in, you know, 2-3 hour stretch and just rattling off a bunch of episodes. And I think the mystery of it, as it seems like it might be unfolding, kind of keeps you interested. It kept me invested. It kept me on my toes. And that's kind of something where I think a lot of shows will pull me in. I know last week we talked a good bit about Severance. Talked about it in watching Pluribus. Those types of shows will pull me in because I want to know. I want to know what's happening. And if it's not based on something else, if there's no way for me to reasonably go and find out, then I want to know. And it's like something where, especially if, you know, like a bunch of episodes are out, if I get the opportunity to binge it, I'll binge it, because it's like I get sucked right in. And I found it very easy to get sucked into the show. But I also understand like where his comedy or his like just personality in general is not perhaps the easiest thing to vibe with. So, you know, I wouldn't fault it somebody for being like, oh, okay, like this guy's kind of too much for me. But I really thought it was easily digestible. There's Felix.
Well, I kind of also enjoy that, you know, the guy who wrote Friendship is also EP on this show. So him and Adam McKay. So at least he has some sort of, you know, there's some sort of crossover there.
Well, it feels like a, you know, a group of people who know their strength pretty well.
That's fair. Yeah. It doesn't
Adam McKay's done a ton of work with Will Ferrell, right? Like that's like Will Ferrell's guy, isn't it?
Adam McKay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Best known for basically all of those, you know, very popular Will Ferrell movies from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But has also done some other good stuff since then.
The landlord sketch on Comedy or Die.
That's kind of where they started, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminds me of something else that I wanted to bring up with you guys, which is, I guess because Death by Lightning and Nuremberg are both out now, Michael Shannon's been kind of making the rounds.
Yeah.
And the Michael Shannon Reads the Sorority Letter video has resurfaced, and it is even better than I remember it being. It's so good.
Really?
Have you not seen it? We should watch it. We should watch it.
All right.
It's phenomenal.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Oh, come on, man. Is there anything without ads? You're killing me.
If I could give you a family YouTube premium subscription, I would. I it's like the one premium subscription I actually pay for myself, and I find it very worthwhile.
Ironically, I do have it. It's just that I'm using a private browser. So,
oh, what you doing?
Riverside wouldn't load in my normal one. I didn't want to clear my cookies because I had other stuff down. I was uploading the episode while I was doing it. The last gotcha. One.
The episode? The episode?
The episode, yes. I was uploading the oh. episode.
You the episode. Okay. You got to up the down episode.
All right, here we go.
Hell yeah.
If you just open this like I told you to, tie yourself down to whatever chair you're sitting in. Because this email is going to be a rough fucking ride. For those of you that have your heads under rocks, which apparently is the majority of this chapter, we have been fucking up in terms of nighttime events and general social interactions with Sigmund. If you're reading this right now, saying to yourself, oh, gee, Becca, I've been having so much fun with my sisters this week. Then punch yourself in the face right now so that I don't have to fucking find you on campus and do it myself. You have 361 days out of the fucking year to talk to sisters, and this week is not, I fucking repeat, not fucking one of them. This week is about fostering relationships in the Greek community, and that's not fucking possible if you're going to stand around and talk to each other and not arm match up. Newsflash, you stupid fucking cocks, rats. Don't like boring sororities. Oh, wait. Double fucking newsflash. Sigma Nu is not going to want to hang out with us if we fucking suck. Which, by the way, in case you're an idiot and need it spelled out for you, we fucking suck so far. This also applies to you little shits that have talked openly about post-gaming at a different frat in front of Sigma Nu brothers. Are you people fucking retarded? That's not a rhetorical question. I literally want you to email me back telling me if you're mentally slow so I can make sure you don't go to any more nighttime events. If Sigma Nu said, yeah, we're going to invite Zeta over, would you be happy? Would you? No, you wouldn't! So why the fuck do you do it to them? First of all, you shouldn't be post-gaming out of the frats. I don't give a fuck if your boyfriend's in it. You don't go! You don't go! And you especially do fucking not convince other girls to leave with you.
Rebecca!
You say in your whiny little bitch voice to your computer screen, I've been cheering on our sports teams at all the sports. Doesn't that count for something?
No, you stupid fucking asshats! It fucking doesn't! Do you want to know fucking why?
It doesn't count because you've been fucking up at sober fucking events too! For example, being stupid shits and saying stuff like, yeah, what's kickball? Well, it's time someone told you, no one fucking likes that! I will fucking cunt punt the next person I hear doing something like that, and I don't give a fuck if you SOR me. I will fucking assault you. If this email applies to you in any way, meaning if you are a little asswipe that stands in corners at night, or if you're weird shit that does weird shit during the day, this following message is for you. Do not go to tonight's event! I'm not fucking kidding! Don't go! If you're one of the people that have told me, oh, no, boo-hoo, I can't talk to the boys, I'm too sober, then I pity you. Because I don't know how you got this far in life, and with that in mind, don't fucking show up. Unless you're going to stop being a goddamn cockblock for our chapter. Seriously, I swear to fucking God, if I see anyone being a goddamn boner at tonight's event, I will tell you what. Even if you're sober. And for those of you who are offended at this email, I apologize, but I really don't give a fuck. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, man. That's incredible. That is great.
I love it.
He's just a national treasure.
I looked up Rebecca, whatever her last name is, while we were watching that. And she's apparently now an e-commerce writer for, like, an online website.
I guess she clearly knows how to write. I mean, there's very, like, she really paints a picture with that.
Yeah.
You know, his acting goes a long way, but the words really matter.
Where's dude?
Oh, man. Anywho. I guess her life turned out okay. Shit, I completely lost what I was talking about. Okay, yeah. Chair company. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm definitely going to watch more. I'm definitely going to... I think it's binge-worthy. I'm definitely going to see where this goes. But I am a fan of cringe comedy. I am a fan of, like, let's make this as awkward as possible. Because those make me laugh very hard. But this is such a weird one. Because I've never seen the combination of, like, cringe comedy and, like, you know, almost like this conspiracy theory, like, enemy of the state type movie. Like, what's, like, it's a weird-ass combination. Not that I'm not enjoying it. So, it's one episode, so I'm going to probably, as soon as we're done, like we did last week, continue to watch. That's all I got to say. Sean, as someone who's seen more, anything to add, anything to encourage Steve, who seems to be much more on the fence than I?
I think it's the next episode. I'll just tease it a little bit. You learn more about that guy that confronts him and the way that he goes about this little detective mission to find out more about the guy is pretty awesome. and just so incredibly weird. But let's just say we have not seen the last of that guy.
Awesome.
He will return. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Steve, any questions, final concerns, thoughts?
No, Matt, give me your verdict next week, what you think of episode two.
Okay, so you're gonna refrain from the verdict until you watch more.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. I respect it. Oh,
that's an interesting strategy there, Steve. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to say it's binge-worthy. I think it's worthy of, you know, I don't know if it's 100, but I'm only judging based on the first episode. So, I mean, think we'll have to...
It hasn't missed yet with me.
This was not a miss, by far from me.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't think it was. But it's just so fucking weird and funny. Also, I have to give credit to whoever their music person is. The I've Got a Name needle drop. Jim Croce. Wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Although, like, his comment that, like, oh, man, you're so right. I never, like, accomplished anything. Look at your, like, wife. Look at your family. Like, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. But that's another story. No?
No. It's not it.
All right. Fair enough.
He's so damaged. It's just really hilarious. That sounds really cruel, but it's true.
Fair. Well, McKenna, what's her face? Wasn't, you know, I guess that was like cancer too, but that's another thing in the friendship. But that being said, I'm going to vote binge worthy. Sean, I'm guessing since you already binged it.
Yeah, no, I don't think I can vote anything else at this point.
Very good.
I appreciate you just reminding me that I need to finish the last couple episodes I haven't seen yet. So
it did say new episodes when I went to HBO Max to watch this.
Hell yeah.
So,
catch up. Yeah, tonight,
and Steve, I eagerly await your at the top of the next episode your takes on this because I think that would be. I want to know more what your thoughts are. I think we broke Steve.
No.
Fair enough. Okay.
Steve has his chair turned over, and he's looking at the tags, and he's trying to figure out who he needs to call.
Who do I need to call in the morning?
All right. Before we end this episode, wrap it up. Sean, you missed our conversation at the beginning, where we took a deep dive into Orbis, which has now aired 3 episodes.
Okay. I
watched all of them and have my thoughts. But before I muddy the water, what did A, did you keep watching? And B, what did you think?
I did not keep watching only because I forgot to reactivate my Apple account. And then
fair.
I think I sold Not So New Girl on binging it with me, which is very exciting.
Oh, awesome.
But we're going to be together for like all of like the 10 days from like starting Friday night to like the following Sunday. So like through Thanksgiving. So I think I'll have an opportunity to like corner her.
Very good.
For many a reason, but particularly to watch the show. But no,
I think I'm going to do the same thing with my, I guess she's not just as, she's just as new as your girlfriend at this point. I think it's around the same time, right?
Yeah. I think you're about 6 months ahead. I think you're about 6 months ahead.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. But what I was going to say, I don't know. But you've watched the other two?
I have. Two and three? Without giving too much away, some of the questions we, like some of the discussions we had answers in the next episodes.
Okay. Appreciate that.
But there's way more involved than I thought. I think we have no idea what's going to happen next or how this is going to evolve. And Steve and I did, because Steve went down a rabbit hole of all the conspiracy theories about what the hell's going on.
Steve's got his red string on his tack board going.
Oh yeah. explain your theory. What are the theories that you liked? I will not do as good a job as you.
I think one of the best theories I like so far was the, like I was explaining, the countdown theory, and then it counts up when, you know, like, so it counts down to like when humanity ends, but the count up is the uptime of the Borg or the hive mind. And it's like, I think it's counting up to when something happens, whether that's like whoever created the virus comes to reclaim something, or it's like a litmus test.
Hmm.
Yeah. How they respond to something. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot more to it, but I guess I don't want to ruin it without us seeing more. I gotta put some pen to paper on this so I can come up with some bullets.
Well, I think because we're gonna keep going, like I'm gonna keep watching. I think we'll do an update every week, a little like 5-minute segment where we go over Pluribus, just like see where everyone is with this, because I think it's interesting.
The Pluribus corner.
Well, I mean, we talked about this earlier. There's very infrequently do shows come around that I can talk about in such detail, but still know nothing. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Sean, there's nowhere to go to get answers. Right? Like we just have to speculate until more things happen.
Kind of wanting to like dive back into Twilight Zone, honestly, because I'm just like, maybe there's the answers in the Twilight Zone. I don't know.
But also knowing Vince Gilligan, he could go on a complete tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Sure. There's no way of knowing if he'll like follow any sort of trope or any like thing that's been written before. So, I mean, yeah, I would love to watch Twilight Zone again. That's actually a good idea. I need something to do over the Thanksgiving days off. So that might be a good one. But I do want to keep watching Pluribus, which is every Friday. And I do want to watch, I'm probably going to go watch Chair Company because I'm already caught up on that. There's one interesting conflict that Sean and I, or Steve and I discussed earlier about Pluribus that I think brings in some like much more that this is more sinister than meets the eye.
Yeah. What's that?
So I don't want to give away what that is. And we can talk about that next time after you've seen it, but
okay.
It's very, it's interesting, to say the least. And we did, I can give you numbers if you want to know, like, when the thing happened, almost 800 million people died.
Died.
So in the process of assimilating, like connecting everybody, Carol's wife was one of 800 million people that died.
Okay.
Because we had discussed it, like what happened to, like, you know, there's people who die, you know, like fell over or in a car or in a plane. Like
10% of the world population. Yeah. Yikes.
So that brings up, anyway, cool. We will continue the purpose discussion. And we should actually have a segment where we talk about all, like, the shows we're watching, like where we're caught up. Cause like I'm going to binge Pear Company after this.
Yeah. I got a lot of work to do tonight, so I'm going to probably throw those next two episodes of Pear Company on while I start working. But before we go, I do want to ask you, and spoilers for those who haven't seen Friendship. I think that the entire end of that movie is his trip. Like from when he licks the toad or gets the toad juice like squirted in him.
Yeah.
Until the end, I think that's his trip. I think he thinks his trip is... That was just the feeling I had watching it. And again, I was also very stoked. But I felt like... it just felt like, oh, like perhaps it is, you know, this disappointing thing, right? Like that's like part of his shtick. But I'm also just wondering, like, no, I think he's still high. Like maybe like the car crash was real, but like the circumstances of him getting to it and why or not, like I didn't buy that his wife was like chill with him again. Like it all just felt like, no, I think he's still tripping. I think he's still laying on the floor of the back room of that cell phone store.
So none of the, like the gun, the toupee things that none of that happened.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
What about like when he imagines the alternate like reality? Is that still like he just like thought about the other things in his head too?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. It kind of reminded me how I felt reading a separate piece in high school. I'm like, what the fuck? And it's like our English teacher. I don't know if you guys had Frasier. She was like very into Fight Club, which fair. But she was like, she's like, yeah, like, I don't think that like so-and-so in separate pieces real either. And I'm just like, oh God, I think she ruined my brain. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I'm just like questioning reality because of her.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's I had fun. Smith, but you know, similar. I like Smith a lot. Oh, yeah. So I can't really complain about Frasier, you know?
Yeah. Well, I like Smith too. She used to I had English first period senior year and, she would catch me with my crossword puzzle book open, just doing crosswords in the back of the class. And she realized that I was like kind of taking notes in the margins of the crosswords. And she was like, you know what? You're not disturbing me. You're clearly listening to part of what I'm saying. So go ahead.
Amazing.
And I was like, cool. Thanks.
Oh man. Good stuff. Yeah, I want to rewatch it now. I want to think. I haven't thought about that, but I could see where it is. I definitely see where it's like the whole alternate reality where nothing happened. Like that, like when he's imagining it in the back of the police car, I can see. Especially as he gets winked at the end.
Yeah.
The wink completely threw me off.
It threw him off, too.
Well, it's like, okay, that's why I thought that part was like made up.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the whole thing. I want to watch it again.
Maybe he's dead at the end, you know? Maybe it's like his brain is just like giving him what he needs before he's done.
That's fair.
Yeah. I feel like there's more to it than that. And honestly, like, if I ever got the opportunity to ask him questions and like actually ask Tim Robbins. See, I keep wanting to call him Tim Robbins, and this just is not right. Tim Robinson questions, and that's like definitely one of them. I was like, I need to know what you do that makes me feel like I'm hallucinating. Because you're really good at it.
Yep. I mean, he does cringe really well.
Oh, yeah.
Like the over the top, let's make things as awkward as possible. That's his wheelhouse, and he's really good at it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Any other final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No, not for me.
Sean?
Nope.
All right. Well, then I will just leave it, you know, like that, and we will see you all next time.
Yeah.
That was fun.
You know, hindsight being 2020, I probably should have come up with something really cringy.
You just had to thumb it in there at the end, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You said thumb it in. Like, sorry. It's been a long day, babe. Just give me a minute. It'll work. Just give me a minute.
I don't know, man. Been traveling. Been, you know. It's weird because I'm in like the point of work where like I can't do anything to help, but people are still asking questions. In my industry, a lot of people go into code freeze around the holidays because they don't want to change anything right before any sales, because we work with a lot of e-commerce sites.
Yeah.
And because of that, we can't like any suggestion we give would involve a code change, which isn't going to happen until January. So the most I can say is, oh, that sucks. Like I can be the nice boyfriend, right, and just listen and show how much everything sucks, but I can't actually help you.
I mean, I get that to an extent. My job can be like that at times too.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Although right now I'm dealing with I inherited a case from somebody who's no longer at the firm, who kind of left with like the house burning down, but like not telling anybody that it was burning down.
Oh God!
And last week, one of my colleagues had to go to a hearing up in Fort Worth, and got a $60,000 sanction assessed against them.
Oh my God!
Yeah. So we're working to get that overturned right now, which is a lot. But it's funny. I was talking to one of the other partners about it, and I was just like, you know, it's a lot easier handling this kind of thing when it's not you're not the one that fucked it up. And he's like, oh, for sure. I was like, yeah, I was like, there's no shame or guilt attached to this. Like, this is not my fault. But anything I can do to make it better is mine. So I'll take that. That's kind of like a layup. There's only upside. Yeah, there's only upside. For me, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. Like, whatever.
But even if it goes tits up, like, you're not going to be blamed for anything.
No. It's not like I'm going to make it worse.
Yeah.
You can't make it worse. It's already really bad.
Steve, you were saying you were late. Anything else on any stories from your end?
No, same as you. We're already heading to code freeze, and I'm just trying to get SOW signed for next year. And
yep,
I'm just Monday night quarterbacking a lot of shit.
I understand. Yes. Believe me.
Oh, speaking of Monday night quarterback. Wait, Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
Wait.
I do a Monday night because everybody's
like Sunday Monday night happened. Quarterbacking. I was like, are you a Monday night football, Steve? You like tried like front yeah, center.
But you do. I understand why you do it Monday night. I get it.
Fucking Joe Montana over here. Aaron Rodgers. Have you guys heard about Aaron Rodgers lately?
No, what happened?
So I've been under a rock last couple years. He's been playing for the Steelers, apparently.
Really?
And yeah. And at one point has showed up wearing a wedding band and has said he got married. No one can find his wife. No one knows that he has a wife. No one knows that he was ever legally married. But he's very clear that he got married and is wearing a wedding band. And
interesting.
If you told me back in whatever year it was that Brett Favre started sending out dick pics and getting real weird with it, that he was going to be the saner of the two of them, I would not have believed you. I would have been like, nah, Aaron Rodgers is much more reasonable. No, he's like fucking nuts too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently none of the Steelers know either.
Exactly. That's my point.
Like, no one on staff or any of his fellow players has any idea what's going on. Is it because she's super famous or because she doesn't exist?
I'm, like, waiting. I don't know if you guys remember this. I very clearly remember it because I was watching David Letterman the night that it happened. Remember when Dennis Rodman was like, I'm getting married. And it was literally Dennis Rodman showing up in a wedding dress at a church one day, like full makeup, everything, to marry himself.
Yep.
I'm wondering if that's happening, or if it's like a Alfred Hitchcock Psycho kind of vibe going on here. Like, are you your wife, Aaron Rodgers?
But see, like, the different, like, Aaron Rodgers could get, like, any woman. Like, he's, you know, he's a quarterback.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, you Google him. He won't get any woman anymore.
No, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah. No, but he could have. And for a while, he was doing okay in that department, at least, you know.
Yeah.
Shalane, or however you say her name, Woodley. And then, what was it, one of the Olivias? Olivia Munn? Olivia Wilde? Olivia Munn.
Munn's the one from...
Munn's the one.
Well, Munn is the one I know from Newsroom, and was...
Yeah, I think that's her. I think they were engaged for a while.
Good for him. I would do unspeakable things.
Well, she's with John Mulaney now, isn't she? They have like two kids together. Isn't she with John Mulaney? They have like two kids together.
Yeah, they have two kids together, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Carr... said my favorite quote about it was when talking about like, because he works on Countdown, and he was like, we're talking about Rachel Riley. He was like, I would crawl naked through 10 miles of broken glass to suck the dick of the last guy she fucked.
He's a treasure.
I love Jimmy Carr.
I do too. He's the best.
Yeah.
I always get really happy when he shows up on my FYP or on my reels. I'm just like, fuck yeah, Jimmy Carr. Give me something. And then his like dorky ass laugh, like,
oh my God, it's the greatest. I've loved all his stand up. You know, every show he's been on, like, he's, you know, all the Edit of 10 Cat stuff is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy Carr rules. National treasure. Wait, even his family doesn't know?
Oh, he doesn't talk to his family. He's been excommunicated from that family for like a decade. Because I remember, when Max was born, I was running a betting pool on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I won both pools that I ran, by the way. Nice. I correctly predicted both. Anyways, The Bachelorette season was JoJo. She's the one who married Jordan Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers' younger brother.
Yeah.
Who I'd say is incredibly... more reasonable, and I would say better looking. But no, none of them talked to Aaron Rodgers, like no one for like 10 years. Yeah.
Blows my mind. Well, yeah. This is a mystery that's going to plague. I'm going to deep dive and see if I can find anything. Cause that's weird as hell. I did not know this.
Does it blow your bubba too? Or is that just the president?
I see what you did there. Well, hey, we got unanimous consent from the Senate, so.
Yeah.
That either means that, like, everything's so heavily redacted that nothing's going to matter, or they realize nothing's going to happen. Theory.
I don't know. I think voting against it at this point was just going to be political suicide.
That's true.
One person voted if one person did.
One person, yeah. And he's not going to get elected next.
He's also the same guy that, like, voted for he like supported like a former KKK grand wizard for like Louisiana governor like a while back. So clearly this man has his priorities. Straight is not the right word, but he's got his priorities.
He knows what he wants, that's for sure.
Yeah, no.
Also, and not to talk too much about politics, what the hell is happening with MTG? Is she like she came out like this week and apologized for all the things she said?
She's just seeing the writing on the wall. The party's going to break away, and I think she wants to carve her niche out.
That's true.
I don't think she's going to align herself with Democrats. I think she's going to try and take that independent route. But it doesn't excuse her for being a shitty person all along. I think she's just seeing the writing on the wall.
No,
well, here's the thing that like, I heard that I thought was very astute. It was like, for years, you know, she's been part of this machine that's just like taking everything personally and attack and disavowing and like basically threatening people who don't agree with her politically, which is what the president does. And when you do that to the left doesn't respond with, I'm going to kill you and your family.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm going to kill you and your family in this way. Or I'm going to like, it's just like, okay, we don't disagree. Like, we disagree with you. Like, you're a moron. Yeah. But like Trump turns on her. And of course, like the first thing that happens is she starts getting actual death threats from people who will actually try and kill her given the opportunity. And she's like, oh shit, this is why they were, like, it's not going to change what she believes in or what she stands for. And honestly, if she said it did, I wouldn't believe her for a second. No.
She's more apologizing for the things she said, not to Trump, but like before that, like she was blinded.
Yeah.
Like she's more aligning herself with, and I do believe that she's been like from the beginning released the Epstein files. Right. Now, that could be for completely different reasons. And like the good news, the one good silver lining is MAGA seems to be really, really anti-pedophile, which is one thing we can agree on.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's like, you're talking about like fucking bare minimum, but okay, sure. I'll take it.
Except for like, Megyn Kelly, who now says 15's okay. Did you hear this?
Yeah, no, I heard it.
There's a difference between 15 and 8. Not legally. Anywho, I didn't mean to leave it there. I'm sorry. I was trying to make a joke.
No, you're like, good.
Kill.
Yeah. Also, slightly adjacent to this, why is MSNBC so excited about getting multiple sclerosis now? I'm very confused.
Because they were owned by Microsoft? Like, wasn't that the thing?
I never questioned the letters. I just found it to be like, okay, this is NBC's like news network. Cool. Now I'm just like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
MS-13? Multiple sclerosis? what are we doing here? Did you not consult with anyone?
Yeah, stupid. It's so weird.
Can't wait for them to inevitably turn back to MSNBC. Like HBO.
Right, just like HBO.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, okay, this was a bad call.
Yeah, MSNBC was established in 1996 under a strategic partnership between NBC and Microsoft.
Yeah.
So they forget that they're just now calling their network Microsoft.
Microsoft Now! Okay, sure. Yeah.
Oh, wow, that was them, because Microsoft paid for the giant new studio in Secaucus, New Jersey. Fun stuff.
Secaucus.
Yankees.
All right, that's all I got. We, you know, wax poetic about, you know, politics and all that. What, anyone else got anything they want to say?
I think it's time we thumb it out.
Yeah, I think so. So with that, I hope you all enjoy Pluribus Is Up. And we will have this up. I like this new thing I'm going to do. I'm going to edit the episode, have it render while the last one's, you know, do it so we can, you know, always put something new up. Every week we record. So, yeah, we'll see this next week. And we will be back with more. If anyone's got any ideas for shows, I was going to, like, whatever, if you see something on Rotten Tomatoes you're interested in, let's watch it.
Yeah, there's some ones that I've been thinking about, too. I think watching the Murdaugh Show might be worth it, even though it's just a limited series. I've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it a little bit, yeah. It's a little inaccurate, but it's kind of the vibe pretty overall.
Yeah.
All right, guys.